Good evening. We're continuing a series that we do once a month on God's nature. We went over holy and just, and now we're talking about mercy. Mercy, which means compassion, pity. We see in many instances God showing mercy in the old and the new, and now he shows mercy. We must understand that God's nature never changes. He has been the same since before time, and he will be the same until the end when he calls us all home. And so God shows mercy. God shows compassion. Now, he shows it to a people who do not deserve it. And we never will deserve his mercy. We will never deserve his grace. We will never deserve his only son who came and died for all of us on the cross. But once again, we see that God is all love, all mercy. He is holy. He is just. And so when we look at the people who did not deserve it, we see that they deserve wrath. They deserve punishment. But we look in places like Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verses 4 through 7. It says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus." These people, the Ephesians didn't deserve it. The Colossians didn't deserve it. All people, no one ever deserved what he did. And how did he show his mercy to us, to the people under the New Testament? By sending his son down here to die. That is the greatest mercy I have ever seen, and that you have ever seen. Without him showing that mercy by sending his son down here, we would be lost. And even the time that Christ was up on that cross, he could have decided, "I'm done. I'm done with all of this." Because we see in that scene, Christ on the cross, they were still sending out insults. They were still humiliating him. We go all the way back to the Old Testament when we see Israel disobeying God's commands. We see them complaining, even though he provided everything they needed and he was giving them a land which would be theirs, they still complained. How much can God take before he says enough? God could have chosen to not show us mercy and would have been right by doing so. We see in Exodus, he tells Moses, "I will show mercy to those who I want to show mercy." And God has that right. If he chose to wipe them all out, even with Moses interceding for the people, he had every right to. When Christ came, Christ had every right to say, "You people do not deserve me. You do not deserve this mercy. You don't deserve this love." Yet God still showed it. Micah chapter 7, verses 18 through 20 says this, "Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? And does he retain his anger forever? He does not retain his anger forever because he delights in mercy. He will again have compassion on us and will subdue our iniquities. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. You will give truth to Jacob and mercy to Abraham, which you have sworn to our fathers. This is who God is. He is one who shows mercy. He does not retain his anger forever. And we see that. We see when they are, when Israel is captured by the enemy, when foreign nations and take over their land, in the midst of his anger, he relents. He shows pity. He shows compassion. He shows mercy. Even though they deserved what came to them, he still showed compassion by raising up leaders to lead them out, to conquer their enemies. We see after Moses dies, Joshua takes over. Joshua, who was trained under Moses on what to do and who to run to when he has questions, when he needs guidance. Once again, God shows mercy to who he wants to show mercy. And thank God he showed us mercy. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 and 9, "But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is longsuffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." People ask the question, when is Christ coming back? And of course, we are all looking forward to that day when we no longer have to put up with sickness. We no longer have to put up with the pain that we face. We no longer will have to put up with sin. And what a day that will be when our Lord Jesus Christ comes back. Sometimes people grow impatient, absolutely. But God is giving those time who are lost, who have not come to him. That's him showing mercy. That's also him being patient. God is showing mercy to the lost right now by giving them the time to come to him, to become a child of his. Now, of course, it's their choice to take this mercy and to go and get it done. It is hard to go through life. It is hard to remain patient, waiting for God to say enough. All the violence, all the terrible things we see go on in this world. But once again, God is showing mercy by giving these people time. And time they really don't have. In Romans chapter 9, verses 15 through 16, "For he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whomever I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whomever I will have compassion. So then it is not of him who wills, nor of him who runs, but of God who shows mercy." Once again, brothers and sisters, he has chosen to show us mercy, even though we do not deserve it and never will. Even now, those who are obedient, he could still choose to send us all to eternal punishment. Would he be right in doing so? Absolutely. He has every right to say, you need to be perfect. If you're not perfect, you're done. He has that right. But once again, he's showing us mercy, a people who do not deserve it. What does he ask in return? He asks us to pursue him daily, to follow him, and to thank him, to rejoice in what he has given us. But he also asks us to show mercy. I think that's so important. We look at the Beatitudes, which we have went over in a series. We are called to show mercy. When we look at some of the parables that Christ taught, we see in his parables, he talks about mercy, showing mercy. We go to the parable where one is in debt to the king, but the king shows him mercy. But we see, as he is shown that mercy and the debt is gone, what does he do to those under him who owes him? He does not show mercy. And so we see the king hears about it. What happens? That man is thrown in prison until he pays a debt that he cannot pay. Without us showing mercy, God will not show us mercy, will he? So we must be thankful always for what God has done for us. When we look at Exodus 32, verses 13 through 14, remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants to whom you swore by your own self and said to them, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven, and all this land I have spoken of I give to your descendants, and they shall inherit it forever. So the Lord relented from the harm which he said he would do to his people. We see at this point Israel once again had disobeyed. But thankfully, Moses intercedes for the people, and God shows mercy. How lucky they are. And they should be very thankful that God did not choose to wipe them out. And Jonah, chapter 3, Jonah, another one, chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the message that I tell you. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a three-day journey in extent. And Jonah began to enter the city on the first day's walk. Then he cried out and said, Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. God had commanded Jonah to go into this city who had disobeyed God and really didn't deserve mercy. But God showed them mercy. And now we see even with Jonah, who of course did not want to go. He didn't think Nineveh deserved that mercy. He didn't think they deserved forgiveness. And we see Jonah run. Can't hide. You can't outrun God. But Jonah would go into that city and preach. And what a powerful sermon. He called them to repent. And we see the whole city repent. They tear their clothes. They sit on ashes. They repented of their wrongdoing. God showed them mercy. Sadly, we would see Nineveh years later be wiped out. But once again, thank God that he gave them the opportunity, and thank God he gives us the same opportunity to receive mercy and to give mercy, to show mercy. In Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 through 23, through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. His mercy is there for the taking, for any who wish to receive it. Once again, I talked this morning about being doers. We have a part to play in order to receive that mercy, to receive that grace. We must be faithful. We must obey. But one day, that mercy that's holding back his wrath will move out of the way. And his wrath will be poured out against all ungodliness. It's so important that we show mercy. Just like the king showed his servant mercy and left his debt, took his debt away, a debt that he would never pay. And we owe a debt that we will never pay. In Titus chapter 3, verses 4 through 7, but when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, not according to his mercy, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. And having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Once again, not by what we have done, not by the works we have done, works of merit, but by his mercy, the washing of regeneration, the renewing of the Holy Spirit, he has showed us this mercy. And now we have been justified, sanctified. Our sins are washed. Our souls are white as snow. So as we see this mercy that he has shown, we ourselves should show the same mercy. You know, I think about all the criminals that get busted, get put in prison. Do they deserve mercy? Absolutely. All the most famous serial killers that everyone knows, the horrific things that they did, they deserve mercy. Now, when I say this, I don't say they deserve to be in the place they are, absolutely. But at the same time, if they came to Christ and they changed, absolutely, they will receive that mercy. We're no better than those who we consider scum of the earth. We're not. We are just as guilty. Once again, we don't deserve the mercy that we were shown. So when we look at God, we see a merciful God. We see a God who created all of this, created us, who could have chosen to keep allowing us to go on and into eternal punishment, but instead, he loved us so much that he sent his only son down here to die for us. And that those who take hold of that opportunity, who take hold of that truth and accept it and obey it, will find eternal life. We will never deserve it. But I thank God every day that we have that opportunity. And it does baffle me when people full of pride, whose ego is through the roof, they don't want to admit that they are wrong, to take hold of this mercy that God is showing them and to admit, I have sinned, I am wrong, and here I come to receive that gift of eternal life. It baffles me when people cannot admit that they are wrong, that they are sinners. And there are many. And there are many who are among us who cannot admit it. But I tell you now, I'll admit every time to God when I mess up, because I want that mercy, because it's a debt I'll never be able to pay back. And so this evening, if there's anyone here, come to God. His arms are wide open. He has shown that mercy, and now it's up to you to take hold of this opportunity and to come to him, to admit that you are lost, that you are filthy from sin, and you're here to renew your life, to put God at the center of your life. Take hold of this mercy, because eventually the mercy will run out. Just like the king in that parable, his mercy ran out against that servant. And he was forced to pay that debt. And he would not leave prison until he paid that debt. But understand, when that mercy runs out, you are done for eternity. So if you are not a Christian tonight, here's your opportunity to take hold of that mercy God has shown you and to come to Him and to give your life to Him. This is how you do it. You must hear the word, Romans 10:17. You must believe the word, John 3:16-17. You must repent of your sins, change one's mind, Acts 3:19. You must confess your faith in Christ Jesus, Romans 10:10. And then you must be baptized for the remission of your sins, Galatians 3:26-27. But it doesn't stop there. You must remain faithful, Hebrews 10:23. And that means you must also show mercy. Or if you are a Christian, you have fallen back into your old ways. Now's the time to take hold of that mercy and to come to Christ and renew your walk with Him. Once again, time will run out and that mercy will run out. So come forward tonight. And if you need any assistance, come while we stand and while we sing.